From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, the rector of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go. Sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children in fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was five the first time I remember picking up a tennis racket. It was my fifth birthday, and my grandmother took me to the local tennis club for a lesson as a birthday gift. And as soon as it was over, mind you, I was five, and the only memories I have of this lesson are running around and picking up balls off the ground because I couldn't figure out how the racket and the ball really went together. But as soon as it was over, I ran up to my grandmother and boldly proclaimed, "I'm going to play tennis for Baylor University one day." At the wise old age of five, I didn't really know much about Baylor or if it had a tennis program or if it was any good or how hard I'd need to work, but we had some family ties there, and I'd grown up going to football games where we always seemed to lose, and I felt like this is a good fit for me. So fast forward 14 years later, and we'll find me in my freshman year at Baylor University, all of my lifelong dreams of green and gold unfolding before me, and new friendships and interesting classes and not so interesting ones, and all the college traditions that I had dreamed of, save for one. I was not there to play tennis. However, in what I still today tout as the greatest miracle I've ever actually seen, in a series of right place at the right time incidents, in the middle of my freshman year, I walked on to the Baylor tennis team. So if you know anything about that phrase, walk on, you might have two assumptions that I share with you. One, you're probably not as good as the scholarship players. And two, that means you have to work a lot harder to like be on par with the team, right? Which is a mixed metaphor. Sorry about that. So for walk-ons, we had these things called DPs, developmental practices. And I was the only one, and so I got all of them. It's a private lesson with a coach, essentially. And so I was at this DP one day. I was having a lot of trouble with my vertical movement on the court, forwards to backwards, baseline to net, that kind of directional movement. And so my coach started me at the fence at the back. And he'd sit and he'd hit a drop shot somewhere inside the service line, and I had to get to it in two bounces or less. And anytime I did not get to it in two bounces or less, I had to do 10 kangaroo jumps. A kangaroo jump is a jump where you tuck your knees into your chest, which I won't demonstrate for you here because I'm no longer a college athlete. So it felt like forever to me, probably an entire lifetime, and in reality it was probably 15 minutes, but try after try after try, I never made it. Every single time I missed the mark, and so I had to do my jumps. And my legs got heavier and heavier, and I got slower and slower, and eventually the ball was bouncing four or five times before I'd get to it. I remember a couple of times not even attempting a second step in the direction of the ball. I was so tired. And my coach would just dole out my punishment and move on to the next one. And eventually I got so tired and so frustrated that I began to cry. And I threw my racket up in the air, just launched it into the air and started screaming at my coach, words that I can't say in a 5-mile radius of this church, and telling him how impossible the task was that he had set before me. How impossible the task was. I learned a lot about myself that day. Things about my character and about my body, deficiencies in me that I don't like to talk about at dinner parties. Right? Because when you're exhausted and in pain and you're trying to accomplish the impossible, there's not really anywhere to hide. And I thought about that when I was reading the gospel lesson for today. We hear today of the rich man who is asking Jesus, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And as Anglicans, we could, for days and months and years, because we've been doing it for centuries now, argue about whether it is faith or works which save us. That age-old Catholic Protestant argument about how we reach salvation. We could argue about it. But instead, I'm going to let Jesus speak for us. The clearest thing I think he says in today's passage about eternal life is that it is impossible by human hands. It is impossible by human hands. And he knew this when he talked to the rich man, but the rich man didn't. This man who had abided by the commandments, by the secular and religious laws of his time, his whole life since his youth, he says, who had worked so hard to build up his life, to attain wealth. He says, "Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "You must do the impossible. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then you will receive the rich treasures of heaven. Come and follow me. There is nothing we can work hard enough at to earn eternal life. There is no trying and winning salvation. You can do all the kangaroo jumps you want. But the thing about it is, we can't know until we try. God knows that about us. He knows that unless we try and reach the impossible, work ourselves to the bone, are laid bare, all of our deficiencies made known, until we get to that place, we cannot understand the graces and riches of salvation freely given. Right? The rich man didn't know. He had to go try the impossible. Until we run up against the reality that there's nothing we can do, we can't understand the reality that we don't have to do anything. And so I encourage you to try it. Try the impossible. And I mean really try it. Go out and give it everything you have. Try whatever it is you think is impossible until your legs are numb and you've done enough kangaroo jumps that your toes can't come off the ground any longer and you're screaming and you're tired and you're exhausted and you can't move another step. Go until all of your deficiencies are laid bare. And then revel in the grace and unquenchable love of God, who adopts you as his own and gives you the kingdom of heaven and eternal life anyway. Amen.
Sometimes I feel sometimes I feel
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.